Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. I'm live at Dunkin' in Hermitage at 5205 Old Hickory Boulevard. And the line is here. The people are here. The first 100 people in line will win free coffee for 100 days. We'll be out here for the rest of the show. People are lining up. They're ready to get their coffee. They're ready to get their donuts. And it's a beautiful time out here at 5205 Old Hickory Boulevard at the Dunkin' in Hermitage. So come on out if you're in the area and swing by and get your coffee, get your donuts, and come say hi. We'll be out here for the remainder of our show. Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Paul Kuharski and Ian Safar live in our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz. Is always about great service. PK, you will be happy to know Alex on the text line has provided an update that our man Gout Gout has apparently run a very nice 200-meter race the other day. So Gout Gout still going strong in the track world.
As opposed to our guy.
We'll see him in the Olympics at some point.
Our Gout guy not going strong. I have messaged him, of course, not heard back. Hopefully he's sleeping well in recovery. I mean, in my mind, I'm making this up entirely, but a gout recovery is 6 to 8 weeks.
You think so?
That's
he could barely put a shoe on last week.
I mean, I've got him in a boot in my mind. Again, I've got him in a boot 6 to 8 weeks, maybe crutches, probably not. Probably a boot with a big heel.
Maybe he's running out the wheelchair, and you'd have to push him.
Wheelchair. I'd love for him to come out for his one day of Titans training camp in a in a wheelchair.
God, PK, I need some assistance out here.
Yeah.
Need some
help. I think he'd bring out a 102.5 The Game intern.
Yeah, just roll him around out there.
Roll him.
But you got to elevate. Apparently, that's the key. You got to elevate the foot. That's what he said. So that's why his foot was just up
was
in the
it,
air next to me throughout the entire
was
show.
It socked?
Yes.
It was socked. Yes.
Thank God.
If it wasn't socked, I think I may have had to throw him out.
Leave the room.
Yeah. Yeah. We had at least a socked foot and not a full-fledged, bare, gout-infested foot.
That would be something.
Yes, it would. The NHL draft is tonight. The Predators picking number 5 overall. They also have 2 more picks in the first round at 23 and 26. So it could be a very busy night for the Nashville Predators, a very consequential night potentially. If you select the right guy, you could be talking about a top player for your organization for the next decade plus. So we'll see who is available at number 5 and what the Predators decide to do. Again, I'll have your coverage starting tonight at 6 o'clock on 102.5 The Game alongside Max Herz at Bridgestone Arena. So looking forward to that. PK, it's a really interesting kind of philosophical question that could be presented to them tonight. Because on the one hand, there are several different centers to choose from, and the Predators – are in desperate need of a center. They've been in desperate need of a high-level center basically from the moment they walked in the door over on Broadway and their franchise began in 1998. So it's been a long-standing need for this franchise. You know, I don't think there's a perfect comparison to quarterback in the NFL when it comes to hockey because I don't think anything in pro sports is quite as important as the quarterback is. But the goalie is not that in hockey. To me, the closest thing is the centerman. And if you've got a Connor McDavid, if you've got a Sidney Crosby, you're going to give yourself a shot if you've got one of those guys. So on one hand, the Predators have a chance to draft potentially a top-line centerman tonight. On the other hand, there's a winger by the name of Porter Martone who people think is going to be a really, really good player and is going to be a guy that can put the puck in the back of the net. And the challenge with evaluating all of these guys, PK, is they're 17 and 18 years old, and it's just different when you're trying to evaluate people this young rather than 21, 22, 23-year-olds that are coming out in the NFL draft. So going to be very interesting tonight to see philosophically if Martone is available at number 5. Do they lean Martone and go with the winger, or do they try to nail down something they've not been able to figure out in the entire history of their franchise, and that is a legitimate, bona fide top-line center?
So Corey Pronman of The Athletic has them passing on Porter Martone, has him lasting till 8 and going to Seattle, and has the Preds at 5, also passing on James Haggins, who's been a popular pick for them, taking Brady Martin.
Okay.
What do you think of that? Brady Martin, who's been playing in the Ontario hockey.
Apparently, he's been a late riser from what I've been reading.
Six feet.
He's been a late.
186. He's, from what I've read, not the same offensive upside as some of these other guys, but physical, competitive with goal scoring ability for sure.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. I think he's got some of that, and I would not at all be surprised if Barry Trotz was interested in him. He kind of seems like a Barry Trotz type of player, and you know, you got to be careful with comparisons because everybody has to attach some sort of comparison with all these guys. Like, you know, we've heard people compare James Higgins to Jack Hughes in New Jersey, or we've heard, you know, Matthew Schaefer, the defenseman who's expected to go number one overall. A lot of people try to compare him to Cale Makar. I think you got to be careful with that type of game. But, you know, one of the things we've heard about Brady Martin is, like, could he turn into one of those Sam Bennett type of players who obviously has been unbelievably effective with Florida the last couple of years in the Stanley Cup final. I think the Predators fans that are listening, based on the reaction that we've gotten on the show all week, based on what I've seen on social media, I think if James Higgins is there at number five and the Predators don't take him, there's going to be a lot of people that are upset by that. And look, James Higgins is not a perfect prospect. I mean, he's 5'10". He's got some size concerns. Now, he also, I think, has, if not the highest upside, maybe the second highest upside among forwards in this draft. I think he's got a chance to be really good. And, again, I've not spent a ton of time watching all of these guys. I have watched more of them lately over the last couple of months here. But Higgins, I think, has the chance to be a really good player. And I think that's who Predators fans, for the most part, have zeroed in on. I think more the thing about Mark Tone is, to me, he might be the most NHL-ready. Like, he may be able to play for them, if not this year, maybe as soon as next year. Now, I don't think you can base your drafting off of that. Like, you can't base your drafting off who's ready to play for you the quickest. But it doesn't hurt, and I think it does show you, you know, physically, I think Martone is 6'3", and he's got good size to him. So from a size perspective, he's already kind of there. But it's going to be really interesting to see what Barry Trotz values, because he's been talking about trying to find a centerman since he took over the job, and now potentially an opportunity to do that. And if he passes on it, PK, I think a lot of Predators fans are not going to like that.
How informed do you think the general, not the general Predators fan base, but the Predators fan base that has that will watch this draft, say, or that will be following it, how much do they really know about these guys? If you're latching on to a guy tonight, have they done more than watch some highlight video? Like, how do you feel like they've gone about picking their guy or developing an interest? Not the extremists. You know the group I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. I think to that point, I think the majority of fans, and frankly probably the majority of people covering the team, have just not watched these guys a whole lot. And there's a couple reasons for that.
And even if you watch them, it's hard to know the context of the competition and you're projecting.
Exactly. I mean, there's no getting around that. You're exactly right. And, you know, number one, it's just hard to watch these guys. You know, depending on what league you play, I mean, you got to either find all these different websites to watch and play, or you've got to, you know, you got to really be into college hockey depending on if they're – I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. So I think here's my best guess on why James Higgins seems to be the guy that the Predators fans really want. It's because most scouting people and most draft analysts last year had him as the number one guy, and he was the number one prospect, and he was the guy that I think even still to this day, for people who think he's going to slide, think he's got potentially the most upside. They're just not convinced he's going to hit it, and there's risk involved with it. But I think the Predators fan base specifically is so starved for a guy with that kind of upside and that kind of ability that they've zeroed in on that. And it's just really, like, even me who have, you know, look, I've known the Predators are going to be out of the playoff mix and into the top part of this draft for months at this point. And I watched a reasonable amount of these guys. But even I don't feel like I'm some huge expert on watching all these guys and what they've done. So I think it's really hard for the, you know, not even casual, but even the dedicated Predators fan. It's hard to really have a huge opinion on these guys based on how hard it is to watch them play.
So what potentially dropped him behind Misa and maybe Desnoyers or other people if he lasts till five?
I think it's a couple things. I think, number one, Misa had a great year. He was really, really good in juniors. And Schaefer, the defenseman, had a great year as well. So it was a combination of those guys playing, I think, a little bit better than people thought.
And did I butcher Desnoyers? Is it Desnoyers?
Desnoyers. But you're close. Hagans was good in his freshman year of college. I mean, if you look at it, he's a point-per-game player, which is a true freshman is good. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. He was not exceptional. And I think there was a lot of people that were expecting him to be exceptional in his first year in college. So, you know, I think it's a combination of those two things, and then you factor in also that Hagans is 5'10". Now, you know, he's 18 years old. Could there be more growth? We'll see. But even if he doesn't get any taller, he's got to work on his frame. But if you look around the league right now, I mean, he's compared to Jack Hughes. Jack Hughes is 5'11", 5'10". Quinn Hughes is 5'10". Braden Point's 5'10". I mean, there are plenty of guys that are really good players in the NHL that are not 6 foot or 6'2". Would you rather your prospect have some size to him? Of course you would. But I don't think it's a deal breaker in a way that it used to be with top prospects. But I do think that's where a lot of the concern is coming from.
He is an outlier.
How much does Barry Trotz battle?
He is an outlier on this list, right? Frundell.
He is, no doubt.
6'1", 204.
Yes.
Desnoyers. I'll turn French. 6'2", 182. Jake O'Brien, 6'2", 177. Roger McQueen, 6'5", 198. Martin, even 6'6", 186. And then Martone, if you're going to the wing, 6'3", 204. Hagans by far the smallest at 5'10", 186.
I think that's playing into it as well. And that's the other interesting part here if you're Trotz, because there's a lot of centermen that are available, and there are a lot of centermen that play totally differently. They've got really different styles. I mean, Hagans is certainly speed and skill. He's one of the best skaters in the draft. You know, Frondell, kind of a bigger body and a guy that, as you said, has played against men and is a guy that, you know, maybe NHL ready a little bit quicker. We'll see if he's there at number five. You know, Martone, a bigger body as well. So there's different styles of players that they've got that are going to be available here at number five. And look, if it goes the way I think it's going to go, and that is certainly Schaefer at number one, there's some buzz about maybe Frondell going two over Misa. I believe that when I see it. I think Misa's probably going to go two, but we'll see. You know, let's say Frondell, Misa, and Schaefer are all gone in the top three. Well, that means that your pick, you're going to have, in all likelihood, one of Hagans, Martone, you know, Brady Martin, Desnoyers, they're going to be available to you. So there's lots of different options here for Barry Trotz to consider. We'll take your thoughts on the NHL draft, 615-737-1025. A couple of points to get to on that front. We will get back into the Titans with PK as well. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Red's Hot Chicken. Red's Hot Chicken on West End bringing the heat. Don't miss their hot chicken and waffles or the mac and cheese crunch wrap. Grab a $30 gift card for only $15 while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. The NHL draft is tonight. We're taking your thoughts on that. Predators picking at number five overall. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai. Welcome in Ryan in Mount Juliet. Ryan, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning. I hope it is Hagans. It needs to be Hagans. The Predators never have a center that has the capability and skill set like his. I know Martel is a big winger, and I know he's a scoring winger, but they need a center, and they've never had one to be his skill set. The last time they had a chance to take a center this high was David Legault, and he had all the potential but wasted it. And, Paul, you're wondering why Hagans has fallen in the draft and not the top. It's because of his point set in college wasn't as great, and it was his position. The performance wasn't as great as Misa and the juniors. And that's another reason why I want Hagans is Hagen still was a point-per-game player and played against men. While Misa, I know he's a good player, but he played against boys. And the difference is I'd rather have a guy if I'm drafting playing against men at a young age as a freshman compared to a guy playing against juniors and 18 and 19-year-olds.
Let me ask you this. Hagen's versus men as opposed to Frondell versus men. Rate the men.
I don't think Frondell is going to make it to five.
Okay.
I
see that as well, but I still want to judge the caliber of men they've played against.
So, and the other thing,
Frondell's competition, I think, is better.
He is, and he also played on bigger ice, so you're going to have another adjustment on the ice size where Haggins is playing on the smaller ice.
Good point.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Ryan. Like, it's all worth considering. Like, I think, look, Misa, first off, if Misa somehow dropped to five, which he's not going to, but if Misa dropped to five, I would pick up the phone very quickly if I was Barry Trotz, and that would be my pick. Like, Misa is my favorite player in the draft. That's just me. I think he's going to be really good. I think he's got a chance to be a star player, and he's probably going number two overall. Now, we'll see, you know. There's some conversation about him and Frondell. Could they swap? Who knows? Maybe this whole thing with Hagens is a smokescreen. He ends up going number two as well. But an interesting point from Terry on the text line who says, I think Preds fans need to be prepared to be disappointed in this pick. I don't think these centers are likely to be what the fans are expecting. With a group this tight, they're not all that great. So that tells me there probably isn't a great one in the bunch. It's when you look at this draft – there is not a generational type of prospect, certainly at forward, like there have been, you know, certainly in 2015. Like, there's no Connor McDavid here. There's no Connor Bedard. Even Macklin Celebrini, who was drafted by San Jose last year, number one overall. There's probably not one of him in this. Now, that doesn't mean you can't walk away with a really good player, but it's going to be really interesting to see, are any of these guys – the top of the top, the elite of the elite. And that's going to be the question. You know, you don't have to be the elite of the elite to be a first-line center, but can Hagens be that? And is Hagens going to be your best bet at that if you're the Predators? But, PK, like the playing against men thing, like I don't think there's any doubt. Frondell, the competition and the quality of quote-unquote men that he's playing against is different than Hagens in college.
Gotcha.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We will get into my prediction for the NHL draft in the last segment. We'll get my thoughts on who I think the Predators are going with tonight. And, again, we'll have that draft coverage at 1025 the game tonight starting at 6 o'clock. PK, we brought this up earlier, and we got some more questions about it on our text line, so I'll get to it. You know, going back to the offense for the Titans schematically, you know, we've talked about the difference in the offensive line and Cam Ward stepping in at quarterback, and hopefully both of those position groups are upgraded for the Titans heading into this year. We have one question from an unnamed texter that says, what do you need to see from Callahan early in the season that lets you know that he has got it and that he's made the adjustments necessary from year one to year two? I know that's pretty general, but PK, your best thought on that.
I mean, I think a plan for Cam. Now, you know, we'll get a little bit of a sense in the preseason, I would think, of what Cam can and cannot do and what he can handle. Now, he's not going to see exotic blitz packages and those sorts of things. Denver is very, very good defense. They rated super well in all sorts of EPA and stuff last year, and added some good pieces to fill in some cracks at inside linebacker, safety, drafted as well. So say, you know, after Denver and the Rams, which Rams is a solid team, but not nearly as good a defense as Denver, I don't think. You can assess. They can assess. All right, here's what Cam can handle. Here's what Cam can't handle. From there, how, you know, you'd like to see a good plan for Cam in the context of that. But I think they will need some time to find their footing in those two games, let's say. not just from a CAM perspective, but from a team that's 55% new. So I'm going to give him a little grace there. Then let's see, what kind of plan do you have for CAM? How do you draw up a game plan for CAM? How do you adjust for Ward as games go on? Second half adjustments were continue from the Vrabel regime where it wasn't good. It wasn't good going forward. Can you keep scores close to let Cam Ward operate? And I think, to what degree can you protect him and not ask him to do too much, which includes playing good defense and running the ball well?
We'll take your questions for PK on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Get out of the summer heat for craft brews, food, games, and entertainment at the 2025 Nashville Predators Craft Beer Festival, which is tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski, Ian Safar here with you. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let the record show, weekend winners normally at this time. The competition is over, and yours truly has won for the record of 56 and 46.
What's the timetable on this thing? It seems to me like it should be a never-ending competition, like the never-ending story.
We reset here in a couple of weeks, and then we get, you know, when football season, we go back into pigskin pick 'em, but we usually stop when the, you know, cup final, the NBA finals are over. And so Rex Road at one point had a huge lead
and blew it
because you had helped him on some of this too, and then he just totally blew it. The Chicago White Sox don't win any games except when Rex Road picks them to lose, which is all the time. So Ian had a significant deficit when he took over for Keezer. He battled all the way back to second place. Rex Road's in last, and he will be buying pizza.
Sounds good. I mean, I think pizza is okay on the gout diet. But what you should have settled on is, what's the worst thing? He should have taken you out for steaks and then had to eat like a potato or whatever while he watched you guys eat steaks. That would have been more fun. Take him to the goutiest restaurant with drinking mead and eating steak or seafood or whatever, and he not partaking. That would have been true punishment.
There may be still time to make an amendment. We may have to go.
I think maybe you should do that. That's my proposal.
I may be on your side.
I just want to meddle a little.
Doesn't sound like a bad idea.
Ian, we agree. That's what we're doing.
Not a bad idea.
We're making an executive decision. He's not here to defend himself. It's what we're doing. Let's head to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Let's come up with a clever name for it. The gout rewards.
Yeah, we'll take your suggestions for that on the text line. Let's welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Dude, the goutiest restaurant sounds so sick to me, man. Like, that
sick like
so...
ill or sick like cool?
Like no, not cool. Like, puke, man. Who would want to eat at the goutiest restaurant? I don't know.
Gotta speak more like the youth. That's sick, man.
Yeah.
That's sick. Yeah, no, it's not good. Hey, Robbie, looking forward to hearing you tonight, big dog. I think you're going to do good. I think we're all going to be disappointed. Not going to talk about them right now because we'll let it happen before we get disappointed next week. PK, I was going to ask you, dude, because we don't always get you for a full show, but have you seen anything? Because I know you're pretty blunt. Like, I don't know if anybody's ever told you that.
No, I've never heard that.
But have you seen anything out? Because, of course, we're going to be excited about Cam. Anything's going to be more exciting than what Levis did to us last year. But last year we were excited about Levis. So have you seen anything that Cam's doing that you could go, oh, Levis didn't do that last year? Is there anything that, like, jumps off the page at you?
Great question. Thanks for calling.
I've got to say, you know, and listen, I don't have – the best practice memory or recall, you know. I'll talk to Braden Gall and he'll remember, you know, a specific play. Well, he threw this crosser to so and so that really showed off this or that. I don't have that kind of practice memory, but I do remember watching Levis last year. I will say this about the quick release, right? We're watching Cam Ward, and he's got a very quick release. It's very impressive the way the ball comes out of his hand. Will Levis has a very quick release. And last year we were talking about the ball coming out of his hand. And that hasn't gone away for Will Levis. So when I'm watching Will Levis out there, he's got an impressively quick release. Now, his impressively quick release has been washed away by impressively bad decision making and, you know, not great anticipation. So Cam Ward's quick release is a great quality in Cam Ward. But if he doesn't have great qualities in other departments, we've been shown firsthand very recently, like as recently as possible, that it can be meaningless in the big picture of quarterback development. So let's not put too much weight in his quick release until we see it have meaning and not be overshadowed by other negative qualities, I would say. I just wrote early this week, free piece at paulkuharski.com, about what I think of his entire offseason and what reasonable expectations are for him. And I say, you know, look, you can get all excited about him and want him to be, think he's going to be the next Patrick Mahomes, but you leave yourself a lot of room for disappointment. I think what is reasonable is say, hey, I hope he has Marcus Mariota's rookie year without the injuries, you know? Yep. And if he does that and then builds on it better than Marcus did and stays healthy better than Marcus did, then we can be on to something. And why not look for that, which seems reasonable to me, instead of saying, whoever said it, Lewis Riddick or whoever, hey, we've got Patrick Mahomes. Because if you say, hey, we've got Patrick Mahomes, you leave yourself so much room for disappointment. And why not get on a course where you expect something reasonable? Let him surprise you if he becomes Patrick Mahomes. So that's my advice. I think he looked fine and solid. But those last 2 days of minicamp, the defense blitzed him, and he looked like a rookie who was overwhelmed by blitzing. And they say, hey, you know, try everything. Don't worry. Well, they don't say, hey, try to throw back across your body when you're rolling out. That's a cardinal sin.
Right.
You don't do that. And he did it a couple times.
Well, and that's going to happen. I think if you watched him at Miami, there's some of that in there. There's some of that in his game. I mean, look, we talked about it. It's not totally comparable. But there is some of Levis in his game, right? Like they've got, there is a little bit of a gunslinger. There's some of the throws, the decisions you make at times that aren't great. But that's a lot of rookie quarterbacks. Like I've seen a lot of conversation, PK, league wide about him. Of like, is Cam Ward the next Jane Daniels or CJ Stroud? Is he just going to absolutely light the league on fire coming in? And I personally do not have that expectation for him this year. And I think if you're a Titans fan that does have that expectation for him this year, you're setting yourself up for disappointment. And frankly, I don't think he has to be what Jaden Daniels was last year or what CJ Stroud was the year before to feel encouraged about him at the end of the year. There's a long, long gap between complete failure of a rookie season and what Jaden Daniels did last year.
I agree with you, and I think it's more likely that this is a gradual growth guy than a burst-on-the-scene guy, and that's fine. That can be fine. But, yes, I mean, don't let, or I'm not going to let, a very solid spring wash away what I felt about him coming in. He gets a clean slate, of course. But my concerns about him coming in were that he had some of the same things Levis had. What were the negatives about him? Well, some decision-making problems and some accuracy problems. Well, he didn't throw outside at all during this camp. So that's them shaping things to his favor because he's good in the middle of the field. But that's also them not threatening the entire field. Look at Marcus as a rookie. 19 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and a 91.5 rating. Now, he was sacked 38 times. You've got to get that down. And this is just in 12 games, all right? If he was on that pace for 17 games, I think that would be a terrific season for Cam Ward to start with.
Got Daryl on hold. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Daryl to the program. Good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, guys. Titans fans don't want to hear these types of things. They don't want to hear any negativity. I think Titans.
Oh, I know it, brother. I live it.
They're among the worst about having irrational exuberances. Alan Greenspan used to say about the economy. And the thing is, we're putting a lot of faith and trust in Cam Ward, and I think it's a bunch of hokey. And people are pointing to his confidence. You think Justin Fields didn't have confidence when he came into the league? Do you think, that every first-round quarterback doesn't have confidence when he comes into the league? All it takes is to be knocked on your rear end about three times in the first quarter to have that confidence stripped away from you. My prediction is they're going to be 4-13. I don't want them to be 4-13. I want them to be 12-5. But I try to look at them as what they are. And Titans fans have a tendency to project on the Titans project what they want to be successful instead of what they think they really are. And I just don't think they have that ability to be discerning enough to say, yeah, maybe we're really not as good as we think, but time will tell.
Thanks for the call, Daryl. Appreciate it.
I suspect better than four, but I think you're generally right. It's a very optimistic fan base, and the Titans are very fortunate that this market tends to buy off-season hope. And with buying off-season hope, they seem to be buying PSLs at the new stadium, which is, very, very beneficial for them. I think they're incrementally better at a lot of places. Denard Wilson talked about them building bottom up. I haven't heard a lot of football teams talk about building bottom up. But to be frank, it makes sense. They've got a lot more access to bottom players than they do to top players. Now, when your second-round pick, though, is a bottom-up guy, Femi Oladejo, it's not to insult him, but he's not your number one pass rusher. Ideally, he's your number two pass rusher. And the number one pass rusher is an imaginary guy who is a first-round pick next year. And Titans fans, I don't know if they're accepting that Draymond Jones is not a number one pass rusher in the league in the context of what number one pass rushers in the league are. Now, can he maybe do what Harold Landry did last year? I don't know if he's a 9.5 sack guy. They're probably going to get sacks by committee. I doubt they get enough sacks. I doubt they rush the passer well enough. I like that they're bigger, and at least they should defend the run better. But, they're making it like, hey, we decided that we're going to get bigger edges. Well, yeah, you decided that. You decided that after you weren't in position to get the bendy electric edge rusher that's the dominant guy outside because you didn't have access to that guy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and here's another thing I'll say on Daryl's point about the confidence part of it. I agree for the most part. Like, I think sometimes we overblow that because there's a baseline of confidence that someone's got to have.
Will Levis is confident
to get to this level and be an NFL player. Will Levis confident? Yes. What I will say is, outwardly, like, if you've been a Titans fan long enough and you watch the way that Marcus Mariota conducted himself, which was fine. Like, Marcus is a great guy, but you never got the vibe watching Marcus that, like, this guy is just oozing with confidence out there.
In here, and we're winning this game.
Exactly. Like, you just never got that. Like, I was in borderline shock when he stiff-armed Barry Church and reacted the way that he did. So, because of that, like, if you've watched that throughout the history of your franchise and you've never really had kind of that brash guy at quarterback for the most part, that's why Titans fans are reacting to Ward the way that they are. And they're excited, and he's not taking an NFL snap yet.
I think you're right on that. But in the context of that, don't take him joining with Jeffrey Simmons and give that some massive meaning. That is not important. It's not important. That's Jeff doing Jeff things and Cam reacting out of respect to the guy who's been the team leader on a team with insufficient leadership for a long time, and it makes for snazzy headlines and it gets a lot of clicks. Should you give a damn that Cam Ward and Jeff Simmons jawed back and forth during minicamp? Like, that's a big football development? That is not a big football development. It's not. Trust me. Please.
Couple more questions to get to with PK on the Titans front. I'll give my final thoughts on the Predators and the draft as well. We'll do all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. PK with me here on the program. PK, a couple thoughts to get to really quickly. So we'll start with this one on our text line. Basically asking about L'Jarius Sneed. And if you've heard anything lately on his health slash legal situation, do you think he's going to be available in game one against the Broncos?
I do think he'll be available game one against the Broncos. If he's not, it'll be health, not legal. I check in weekly. No grand jury date set, and I suspect that investigation will continue to be ongoing. I do think there's a chance he starts camp on PUP.
That would be, I'm sure, go over very well around here. Oh, Cameron on the text line says, I've actually thought about why Titans fans are like this all the time. It's because we've never had an actual stud quarterback, so the fans have no basis of comparison. Says, I love McNair, but for 95% of his career, he threw for like 175 yards per game and won 17-13. So they don't know what they don't know, talking about Titans fans. What do you make of that?
I think that's true. But I don't think I think that guy is dead on. But I don't think most people know what he knows. I don't think most people realize that Steve McNair threw for under 200 yards for the vast majority of games in his career. I think they think of him as more productive passer than he was, that he wasn't a great football player.
Trevor says, PK calls Titans fans an optimistic fan base. I say they're a delusional fan base. This is from Trevor on the text line. We'll see.
In that large percentage of optimism, there is also a large percentage of the word he used, not me.
PK, my official draft prediction tonight, I'm going Higgins. I think James Higgins is going to be the guy at number five. And I hear all the buzz about Martone, and if that's who they end up selecting, it's a good player, and I think that he's going to be a really good NHL player. But I go back to what Trott said the other day on Jared's show and in his press conference. And he basically said, you know, if it comes down to just my preference, I'd like to have a centerman because he knows that they've been looking for a centerman throughout the history of their franchise. I think this is a good opportunity to take a shot on one. And he also said, and he kind of mentioned it in passing, but it's something I paid attention to in the press conference the other day. And he was talking about basically 3-8 on the prospects and what they're looking at on their board and how they're pretty similar in terms of their grade. Well, if that's the case and you feel like 3-8 are pretty similar, assuming that Martone and Higgins are both in your 3-8, which we'll see if they are or if they're not. If it's close, I think they go with the centerman, and I think James Higgins is a member of the Nashville Predators organization by the end of the night, PK.
Hey, if you had a hole in your organization that this long and that deep, it seems second nature to fill it. And I know a lot of people will be disappointed if they don't. So I'm curious to see which direction he goes and how he explains it. But I hope the fans get what they want, because it seems like there's a lot of talent.
A lot of talent, and this could be, if things go right and you make the right pick, a game-changing day for the Predators. And, you know, I've said it before, last season was incredibly painful to watch. It was incredibly painful if you're a fan to go through and to show up night after night and get to Bridgestone Arena and watch that product. But if you make the right selection tonight and this player ends up being a player that's a franchise player for you for 10 years, it may be worth it at the end of it. Predators have not been in this position very often. I know Barry Trotz and Predators fans are hoping they're not in this position very often again, and we'll see how they handle it tonight. But, again, I'll have your draft coverage tonight starting at 6 o'clock on 102.5 The Game. Max Herz will be there with me as well, so looking forward to that coming up tonight. PK, great stuff as always, brother. Appreciate you hanging with me today, and have fun. Avoid the gate fees this weekend.
Well, no gate fees. God bless. Avoid the gout. Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your locks. Hey, look out for Elsewhere, my different podcast coming out
yes.
today.
Looking forward to that. That does it for us today. I hope everybody has a great weekend. The Chasing Big Joe show is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.